All right, go.
Okay, so we're gonna go ahead and start the Juvenile School Health Advisory Council, which is the SHAC agenda for today, October 30th, 2024. It is 4:35 for us to start this meeting. So since some people are new members, I always kind of, for the first meeting, kind of go over what the duties of the SHAC really are. TEA, or actually this is off Region 20, has a really good, if I can get it to go. And it breaks down exactly what our SHACs are supposed to be doing and how they can help and benefit the school. While, since we are a district of innovation, we also have, we're able to have this meeting together instead of separately, because when we start having so many different meetings and we're all trying to go for the same goal, we tend to override and not really get anywhere because there's so many meetings and then people don't meet. So with being a district of innovation, we can have the DIT and the SHAC committee members together as one. Last year and the year before, I do have some members who cannot meet at this time. It's not, there are a lot of they're actually all medical field people and they're not able to get here at this time. So I do meet with them in our subcommittee. We normally meet the Wednesday before the SHAC meeting. And we meet at 7 o'clock at night, sometimes 7:30, depending on their work schedules. So because they want to have their voice heard, but they cannot make this 4 o'clock meeting, so we've made them a subcommittee as well. So what exactly is SHAC? SHAC is a coordinated health system. It's a systemic approach of advancing student academic performance by promoting, practicing, and coordinating school health. So it's looking at the whole body of the kid, not just academics. We're looking at mental health, or physical health, nutrition. That's where nutrition kind of comes in as well, and trying to get everything involved, and not just focusing on the academic side. Because we know if you want to be good in academics, you got to make sure you have a good breakfast, right? You have to get good sleep, you know. So looking at the total child or the total person. So that's the main reason SHAC came about. So every school should have a SHAC. Every SHAC has to meet at least minimum 4 times a year. What are the duties of the SHAC is kind of where I'm going to click on right here. There's tons, as you can see. So health education, making sure we are having PE, because some schools started taking PE away to get academics in, and then we started seeing this huge obesity problem that we're having in the United States. So, okay, we got to make sure that we are hitting, that they're getting their physical activity in, making sure that we are hitting cardiovascular disease, diabetes, mental health concerns, suicide. So coordinating the whole health education, the physical education, nutritional services, parental involvement, substance abuse, mental health services, a safe and healthy school environment, and also going back to our employees of school employee wellness as well. Not just, okay, we are pushing all this on schools, so we need to make sure our employees are well taken care of as well. Okay, and how we can address all of that. Appropriate grades of instruction for human sexuality. So the SHAC teams previous to this one have already picked the current sexual education that we provide here at SAP now. We use Big Decisions, which we teach in 8th and 10th grade. And those, in order for us to teach that, we have to have parent permission. We cannot just teach it to anybody. They have to have parent permission. They have to sign off on that. There's also now a push for having, or actually I had a push from a lot of parents to teaching a puberty class at elementary. A lot of parents were having apparently a hard time talking to their child about puberty, and they didn't know how to address it. And if I could discuss it with the kids. And I said, well, there is curriculum associated to that. So I was using TEKS and kind of pulling from that. I'll get to where that's going here in a little bit about getting a program, an actual curriculum, instead of just kind of pulling from the TEKS and getting information from different sources, was trying to get an actual curriculum to use. So this is the purpose of what SHAC is coming together, getting the input from every member, not just from, you know, whoever, just me, is getting a wide range and getting the feel of some community members. Because I know some places, when you talk about human sexuality, religion comes into play. The good thing about these programs that like big decisions. It doesn't use religion. It's just talking about, it's called big decision because it's your decision. I'm giving you the facts. I can tell you not to have sex, but that's your choice, your decision. And if you're going to, then this is how you have to protect yourself. So that's basically what it is. It doesn't involve religion at all. You know, it basically says your religion is your religion and you choose that with what you may. Okay. But this is the facts of what we're seeing. This is the pregnancy rates. This is the STD rates. This is the HIV AIDS rate. This is what you have to surround yourself with. And it doesn't just go into that also. It goes into what is a healthy relationship. You know, what is actual good communication? It does go into abuse, you know, as well of parental abuse. It goes into abuse of being in a relationship abuse. So there's lots of caveats that are hit, lots of different areas that are hit. It goes into loving yourself and taking care of yourself before getting into a relationship, you know. So there's a lot of things that it does hit with those programs, and that's why that program was actually chosen, and we've kept it the same. We haven't changed it. So who should the members of SHAC be? Basically, classroom teachers, school counselors, school administrators, district students. So in the past, before, we have had students. Lately, we haven't, but our students used to love, student council used to be involved quite frequently. And they would love to give input on the cafeteria menu. Mm-hmm. That was one of the, I know Kelly's already doing that on her own though, but they would love to give input on this is what we want to eat. And then also the things that they wanted to do at here at school. So they were really good of being there. I haven't had them in the last, 3 years? I haven't had students in the last 3 years, but they are welcome to come. I also, in this packet that you have here, I sent out this form this year of looking for recruitment of anybody wanting to be in the SHAC, and this was on dojos, on the elementary and high school dojos. And I got not a single one back. Not a single one back. It was on dojos, and I also mailed it out. Went home with elementary, went home with all of elementary, didn't go home with high school, sorry. But it did go home with all of elementary, and I didn't get a single phone call about it. I didn't get a single email about it. I never got a form back.
Okay.
So my feelings were a little hurt, but okay. I'll move on. No, I'm just kidding. As well, other members that can be on here are health professionals, and I have a big group of health professionals that love to put their input, so they always come, but they come to the 7 o'clock meetings in the evening. Business members, community members, law enforcement, senior citizens, the clergy, nonprofit health organizations, and any local domestic violence programs. A lot of my medical people do fall under quite a bit of those different categories. So they fall under there. How often? I said we're required to meet 4 times. We have to be recorded. So we are recorded, and that does have to go on to our school website. This agenda actually has to be out 72 hours prior to the meeting and has to be posted on our district website. There. So what are the topics usually discussed? From anything that we want it to be, basically. Where we see we need the need. Last year, the need that they were seeing was in regards to nutrition. In regards to, so one of the goals that they pushed and that we passed was to make sure that every concession stand that is done, that is run by students at the school, that they offer a healthy snack. Whether it is fresh carrots or a granola bar, but at least there is a different alternative. And so our seniors this year with their concession, they offered a fruit cup. That was what they wanted to do. So now, of course, if it's like band boosters or sports boosters, they don't have to fall into that category. But if it's anything that is a, you know, actual class, or if it's going to be like, what is it? The volleyball teams, as long as it's not a booster, if it's actually from the students, it has to have that healthy component to it that they have to offer. So like National Honor Society, say if they wanted to do a concession stand, they have to offer that healthy component to it, okay? So that was one of the goals that was passed. We were also working on the mental health, and that's one that's still trying to evolve. We contacted UMH about possibly utilizing the Sabinal Health Clinic to offer a counselor to come in, because while we do utilize T-Chat, which is where kids can get referred out and they can meet online with a counselor, what we're having the trouble of is finding a place to have those meetings. So yes, they can have a meeting, but we tend to displace the counselor, displace them somewhere because they're having that private meeting in the counselor's office, and now the counselor doesn't have a place to be. They're wandering around with trying to meet other kids somewhere else and don't have that privacy, because it is a private matter. So we're wondering, maybe if they had counseling services out of here in the clinic, that, you know, it's not completely all day gone. Mm-hmm. It's a few minutes. You're gone maybe an hour, you know, you're there for your appointment and then you're coming back. So we were working with UMH on that. I know they were working with that, but then we were notified that we won this wonderful grant, which focuses on social emotional learning, and a lot of things are happening with that. So I think that is going to help us along the way with some of these students that are specifically needing a lot of this social emotional help. And then the other one that they were working on is always trying to bring back the health component. We don't offer health right now. It's not a requirement, a graduation requirement. So now we're getting that health component. Yes. We've been pushing on that one to try and get that health component back, because we do so many things that we have to do, that it would be great to utilize that health class to be able to do that, from offering CPR, from teaching the fentanyl prevention, from CPR, AED, fentanyl, PAPA training if they're going to do it. So there's lots of different things that it's so hard that you're doing, having to pull kids from different places and trying to pull them. Where are we going to pull them from? What class? I don't want to pull them from their core classes. So how am I going to pull them to get all these little things done that are good, but just need to get done as well? Okay. So that's kind of the duties of the shack. It's on there if you want to go over it and go into more detail of exactly what it is and what we do. There's also a wellness policy that we should have that should be updated at least or looked at every 3 years as well. It's probably looking about time to get into that. So that may be one of the goals that we want to get into this year. And that's kind of looking at our staff wellness plan, like what can we offer for staff and how can we work better for the staff.
And so, that's connected to the Stronger Connections as well.
So, which is also, wellness. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it could fall under that. That could be one of the goals if we wanted to discuss that. So recruitment, going on to down to number two, was recruitment of SHAC members. And like I said, crickets. Mm-hmm. But I did put that in there that at least, you know, we did attempt it. We did try it. I will send it out again.
I'll be the first.
Thank you.
It goes hand in hand.
Cecilia, ask Ms. Contreras. She's part of this group. She joined us. She was really looking to get onto a lot of different committees and helping out.
Okay, I will ask her.
She's on this group. She's one of the new parents.
Yes. So just trying to get more people involved. And if you're not able to make the 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock is better for you, you can always fall into that subcommittee to work with. So if people are asking you how else they can be more involved, well, SHAC is always available. Just email me or call me and we can meet up with the subcommittee group. Okay. All right. So the next thing of order of business is voting for a co-chair. We're supposed to vote for a co-chair every 2 years. I think my last co-chair was Krista Rodriguez, who's on the subcommittee, and she's been on it for the past 4 years. So I really need to get somebody different. Krista is a parent of an elementary student and of a junior high student. It is basically paper. I do everything. But we're supposed to do it. You know, we're supposed to have somebody there that is a parent. They must be a parent. The other ladies that are on that subcommittee are all medical people. And I had Sandra Castañon was on that, and she's the other one that was a parent, but she was like, I don't want to be the co-chair. I don't have time for that. And I said, that's okay, I do everything. But she was like, I don't want it. I said, that's okay. So Krista has done it for the last 4 years. but I really needed to get a different parent because we really should only, we have to be voting for one every 2 years. So Kelly, are you nominating yourself at this moment?
I mean, I'm willing to help, okay. I mean, I'm a parent, so.
Okay, so I'm gonna write your name down then we will vote on it at the next meeting.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll just say, if in case we get any other volunteers or anybody if anybody
we'll
else,
go pick it outside. Yeah.
So in case, you know, if any other parents are asking, they can always reach out to me, and we'll have that subcommittee meeting. Okay. So the next thing is the puberty curriculum for elementary. Like I said, I've been doing this puberty curriculum that I've kind of been picking from just the TEKS, the Texas TEKS, that are out there. But I found with big decisions, had always told me, we're like, we're working on a puberty one. We're working on figuring something out for puberty. Mm-hmm. And they finally came out with it. It took them about 4 years to do it. And they came out, and this is the outline. If you look on, it kind of goes over. It's four lessons. And I'm doing four lessons. I was doing four lessons with the kids as well. And this is the outline for it. I really like the way they bring up things, the way they utilize the TEKS that we have to hit and the different things. Again, with any of this, before we can teach any of this, we have to have a parent permission slip. So if a kid or the parents decide for the kid to opt out, that means they'll just, what we've been doing at elementary is they go to PE. If they are staying for puberty class, they come to the library with me and usually another person. It's always best just to always have somebody else there, just as somebody to double check in case a kid says something off the wall and you're like, wait, no, because we are talking about a sensitive subject. But I did love that one of my elementary science teachers did come to me and goes, thank you so much for teaching reproduction, because it really helps when I'm talking about science reproduction. I'm already getting it already too. So, it's just going over the changes in their body and the different things that their bodies are going through. So that way they're more aware of, like, why is this happening to me? Especially if they're not getting it at home, they know why their body is changing, and you know, it's just the way the body works, and this is what's happening.
What grade level is that starting?
So this is good for fourth through sixth grade. Fourth through sixth grade. I've been teaching the current puberty curriculum that we're doing at fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. I did it the first time and not thinking, I should have probably just done it in fourth and sixth grade. So that way they have a year off, and then we kind of go over it, a review. Because that's the same thing that we do with big decisions. You get it in eighth grade. And some of them already know more than enough, and some of them are very naive to all of it. And then by 10th grade, they're a little bit more mature, that maybe they didn't listen to everything I said in 8th grade, but now they're like, oh, that makes sense. And now they're a little bit more like, oh, okay, so why is this happening and why is this happening? So they get a little bit more. So even though it's the exact same curriculum, you get a different output from them just because they're more mature from it. So. We can introduce it in fourth grade and go over it in fourth grade, and then if they get it again in sixth grade, I think they'll be a little bit more mature to understanding of it. So I could see where, yeah, if we did it in fourth and sixth, where that would work as well. Just kind of like big decisions is eighth and 10th. And I really do think they need it, because there's some in eighth grade. When I get them in eighth grade, I'm like, oh, how do you know this? So it's really, glad that I was able to teach some puberty in them, because sometimes they really know a lot, or sometimes they're really, really confused. And I'm like, okay, you really needed to know this because you were completely off base and didn't know what's going on with your body. And so it's very eye-opening experiences, questions that I receive. But this is the outline, so please look it over. If you see anything that's like a red flag to you or something that you don't think is pertinent for them to know, a lot of people get a little squeamish when we go over body and anatomy for some reason. You know, I tell them, you're gonna hear the word penis, you're gonna hear the word vagina, you're gonna hear labia, you're gonna hear breast, you're gonna hear, these are the words, because that's proper terminology. But some parents tend to get squeamish about it. And I was like, this is what you teach even younger kids, you know, depending on the parents, you should teach them in proper terminology. So that way they're aware and they know. I don't want to tell you horror stories that I know about CTS cases, because you don't want to know it. You don't want to go to bed with those ideas in your brain. But there's a reason why they need to know the proper terms. So, but that's that information there. Okay. Any questions on that? The next page on there is also the price quote that I was given by Healthy Futures of Texas, of what this program would cost in order to train 2 staff members and to get the manuals needed for this curriculum to get going. And then Ms. Braden, who's in charge of our, what is her title again? I'm sorry.
Project lead for
the project lead for the grant has informed me that this is, we were looking at purchasing this curriculum, so I'm excited about that. But like I said, please look over the curriculum if there's anything that you see that you think we need to touch base on or possibly review before going into it. Let me know. You can reach out to me, you can call me, you can email me, whatever is easier for you. Okay. All right, and so the next thing was start brainstorming for the 3 goals of the year. You know, where do we see a need? Where do we see a need that we need to address with our students, with our staff, with our community? I need to follow up because we did mention last year about having a crosswalk right in front of the marquee. I know that especially when time change happens, it gets really dark around there. And so that was one of the concerns about kids coming up to practices in the morning real early and people not seeing them. So that was wondering if they could put a crosswalk. And I know that went before the city and I don't know what happened to it after that. So I need to follow up with that one. But just that, this is where this revolves around. It can be anything. It could be, you know, did you see stairs and you wanted them painted yellow or something for the handicap that we're not addressing? You know, there's lots of different avenues of where we can work on as a team of what we want to do. What are those 3 goals? What do we want to do with? How do we want to move forward with them and to accomplish those goals?
Again, it could be anything. I remember one time talking about the changing tables at the football field and they got changing tables.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever we feel is necessary to make it this better for our students and our staff and our community. Okay, so you can start brainstorming on that, and then at this next meeting, we'll kind of go into that and meeting those goals. Okay.
I have a question.
Sure. Go ahead.
I'm sure this has been brought up, especially with all the security issues going up and so on. But have we considered a covered crosswalk for the kids coming from elementary to the cafeteria on rainy days?
That's why we're here, because we can bring that up and see, you know. What would that cost? Would our maintenance staff be able to do that? Would we hire out somebody? You know, that's something that could possibly address.
Okay.
Yeah. Or could we have a fundraiser or think of something to do to, you know, to get that done? But.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Make a bridge. A lot of umbrellas.
Right?
I'm
an overpass.
Yeah.
So, okay. Any questions so far on that? The next thing I was going to bring up was this fentanyl prevention. We actually brought it up last year at the first SHAC meeting, but it was just very informative because I didn't put it on y'all's because it will have to go on the next agenda because it wasn't really the 72-hour notice. But they did put out this whole Texas School and Safety where they told us about this last year that we had to teach it to our 7th graders and up, or 6th and up. They had to get some type of education on it. But they didn't tell us where we to use this education. We had no resources. It kind of put the carrot ahead of the, what is it called? The carrot ahead of the cart or whatever? Cart before the whatever, right? Backwards. We didn't have any resources that we could use. So now we have all these resources. It actually started with the Tucker program. This project, it was a mother who lost her son to a fentanyl overdose. Her son did have anxiety issues. He didn't have insurance, so he would just go online, like if he was going to take a test or he was feeling anxious, and try and score, you know, anxiety medication. And he went and got some. It was laced with fentanyl, and he was not aware of that. And so he passed away. So this was her way of saying, started doing research and finding how many people were actually dying of fentanyl. They actually call it fentanyl poisoning now. It's not an overdose because his intention was not to die.
Mm-hmm.
His intention was to treat his anxiety. A lot of these people who die of fentanyl poisoning, their intention was never to die. Their intention was to, whether it was to get high or whether it was to treat whatever ailment they had, whether it was pain medication and they were trying to stop their pain. and they got some medicine that they thought was going to take care of it. But now we know that a majority of street meds are more than, like, I can't remember the exact number, but it was up in the 90s, is going to be laced with fentanyl. And fentanyl is such a strong medication that it is, I mean, the purpose of them was to take down elephants and rhinoceros. I mean, they're vet meds, correct, doctor? They're vet meds. That's what they were. They were vet meds. And now they've taken them because they're so easy to make, and they make them and mix them with a lot of different things, and the smallest amount can kill you. And people don't realize that that's how fatal it is, that they're just thinking they're going to a party and they're switching up the meds, everybody brought in a different med and they're just taking, and somebody dies. So this is the reason this was brought up. It was a Tucker project. There is now this curriculum has not even been made. It's still in the works. But now we have different curriculums that we can use and that we can pick. So what I'm gonna encourage y'all to do is to kind of look over all the different curriculums or different ones that you wanna see. And if there's one specific that you would like to use that we can utilize here at the school, so that way we can start implementing this in our district. Like Stanford has one, but that's only, I believe, for 9th through 12th grade. So there's all different kinds, and it specifically says that we have to hit 6th and up. If you wanna hit lower than 6th grade level, then we have to bring it to their shack. But it is right now at 6th through 12th grade must get some type of, what are the signs and symptoms of somebody overdosing of fentanyl? What are the risk, you know, what are the things, that the risky behaviors that are leading people to doing this? So it just kind of goes into different resources of different things. And so these are the different ones that have been approved that we can use. And there's different presentations, or some of them are just videos. Some of them are handouts that you can send home to parents, things that you can put on social media to kind of give awareness about it as well. But there's, I think, 2 or 3 pages of
that's
them.
On the TSSC website?
Yes. And this on my, oh, I didn't put it. So if I can get y'all's email, I know most of the staff, but like the community members' email, that would be great. I'm gonna hand you this, Sylvia, Miss Young, so that way you can just put your email on there, and I can send you the link, so that way you can review it too as well.
The nursery is, I do, it's a website I came across in the past, and I use starting Red Ribbon Week and Carry On. It's called naturalhigh.org. Mm-hmm. And they're like 3 to 5 minute videos. The man who created it lost 2 brothers to drugs. But anyway, they also have some stuff out there about the fentanyl as well.
Okay.
And like I said, and it's appropriate for middle school on up. So
this one?
I have. Mm-hmm. So I don't use the whole, I mean, they have whole lesson plans.
Mm-hmm.
I just go to the stories, and there's like famous athletes, movie stars. Was it Bethany Hamilton, the one that lost her arm to the shark?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just different people and talking about their connections to drugs or alcohol and finding their natural high. So. And I let Clarissa know that I'm using it with my kids in case anyone asks any questions.
Okay. So any questions in regards to SHAC or any input or anything that you would like to add? I went over 4 minutes. Sorry. Okay. So then we will end the SHAC meeting at 5:04. And then we'll set up our next meeting. We'll have things hopefully to go by for our goals and be able to vote for our